Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Ayin Vav. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing a theme of a previous Mishnah discussing this concept known as Iver HaMedulzel. When there's a slaughtering, so generally that permits the entire animal, whether it be to permit it to be eaten, or even like by a treifa, where it permits it from the laws of Tumah of Nevela. Then we said there was a concept known as Iver HaMedulzel, when there's a limb that's hanging, which we might not characterize as part of the animal itself, and then hence that the slaughtering will not be going on that limb, because it's not part of the primary animal, and then will not be permitted with that slaughtering. So in that theme, the Mishnah says as follows. Behema shenechtechu ragleha. Regarding an animal that its hind legs have been cut, have been severed, so it depends where exactly the cut is. And that's regarding the primary life of the animal. What part do we consider as primary in regards to the animal, in regards to the limb itself? So the Mishnah says as follows. Minhar kuvo lamata. Now, we're going to translate the word harkuva as the joint, because, as we're going to explain, there's two different joints which, on a human being, we would qualify as the knee and as the ankle, which in an animal, it looks different, but it's that similarity. So the question is, as we'll see, regarding the Gemara will qualify, which joint are we talking about? That's what the Mishnah says, from the joint and below by the hind leg of the animal, if it gets severed over there, so then the animal is going to be kasha. But minar kuva ulamala psula, but if it's high, from the joint and higher on the leg going towards where the primary vitality of the animal is, that's already severing it, that's making it non-viable, and therefore the animal is going to be invalid. Now, continues the Mishnah. V'chein, and also when the animal is going to be not kosher, is shenitel tzemes hagidin. If the joint, the juncture of the sinews of the tendons, if that's taken away, which this is above the lower arkuva, which is called the tarsus, which is one of the two interpretations. Again, that's one of the two joints we're talking about, which again, the equivalent in a human being would be the ankle, but that's not how an animal walks. It would be so much, almost like on tippy toes, that's how an animal walks. So that's right above that lower joint, which is, that's where this juncture of the sinews are, which those are like three threads of tendons, which that's what those people who take away the veins of an animal when you want to go ahead and get the meat, which is behind the bone of the bottom of the shank, which the middle bone is, will qualify. So right above the lower joint is the tzemes hagidin. If that's taken away, even if none of the bone was cut, was severed, that's also going to make the animal not kosher. Continues the Mishnah, let's say it wasn't that the bone was severed, like we said, behema shenechtechu raglehu, rather, nishbar etzem. Let's say the bone just broke, it wasn't severed. So here too, it depends. Im roiv habasr kayim, if the majority of the flesh is still intact, as the Gemara will explain, that it means the majority of the thickness, and the majority of the circumference, as we'll explain in the Amud Beit. So if the majority of the flesh is intact by the area of the break, so shechitasa mitarasai, then the slaughtering will permit it, and even that bone, that limb, is permitted to be eaten. But if not, if the majority of the flesh doesn't cover that break, in shechitasa mitarasai, then the slaughtering will not permit it. Meaning, even though that the break is a part of the animal's bones, which the animal itself is permitted, because it's not an area that makes it into a treifa, that limb that broke is going to be forbidden because it left the area of the animal itself. And that is, as we had learned in Avayin Gimel Mabeis, from the Pasuk Ubasar Basad the Treifa, which we said that any limb or flesh that's meduldalin, that's the concept that we're bringing back from a previous Mishnah, which is hanging, we don't view it as part of the animal. So although the animal is kosher, and when you slaughter it, it's going to make it permitted to be eaten, that limb is not going to be permitted because we don't view it as part of the animal anymore. Because since the majority of the flesh is not covering it anymore, we view it as something that's separate from the primary animal. So again, the Mishnah had the halacha of if its legs got cut, so it depends where it is. If it's lower than the joint, and again we'll explain where exactly that is, so then it's not in the primary part of the animal. That does not make it into a treifa. It's going to be kosher. Higher than the joint is going to be pasul. Additionally, just taking away the tzemes hagidin, which is right above the lower joint, that tarsus, that again like the ankle by a human being, above that is this juncture, as the Gemara will go through lengthily exactly what's the dimensions and the area of that tzemes hagidin. If that's taken away from the animal, that will also make it not kosher. And then if the bone breaks, so again, that depends. If the majority of the flesh is intact, then even that broken area is kosher, but if not, then that part is not going to be valid, even if the animal is still kosher. So now the Gemara will qualify, and again, as we were saying, there's three bones in the leg of an animal. You have the bottom part, which is the bone that's cut with the hooves when the animal is skinned. Now, that arkuva, that joint, which is the lower joint, which is the tarsus, which we're calling the ankle, is the joint that's sold together with the head. If someone buys the head, it gets the hooves with it too. Now, above that is the middle bone, which is the shank bone, which, tzimis agidin, this juncture of the sinews, which are these three sinews that are like as one together, they're on the bottom of the shank bone, which is right above that lower joint, which again, which is the lower one, which is sold with the head. And then you have the highest bone of the leg, which that's the femur, that's the bone that's connected to the end of the spine, which is the alya, which is the tailbone, which is connected to the spine. Those are the three bones of the animal's leg, which again has two joints connecting those three different bones. Now, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav Amar Bechia. So we're going to have this machlekes, as again, as we had said, how to qualify what's this min harakuba that we're talking about in the Mishnah. He says, Lamata, just as the Mishnah said, that if the bone of the animal gets severed beneath the arkuva, that we said it's going to be kosher, that's lamata min harkuva. That's below the joint. Now, what he means to say by that is, I mean, that's what the Mishnah says, said in arkuva lamata. What he means to say is that right beneath the joint, that's already where it's going to be kosher. In other words, as Rashi explains in at length, he says, don't say that the arkuva of the Mishnah, which is actually like his disputant, is actually the higher joint, which is between the thigh and the shank bone. And what do we mean that lamata that says is going to be kosher? It means beneath it and from that whole middle bone, which is where the tzimis agidin are. That's what we're saying beneath that is what's going to be kosher, because you can't say that right beneath the higher bone itself is going to be kosher, because even the tzimis agidim, which is on the lower end of that middle bone, the Mishnah says, if that's taken away, it's going to be treifa. For sure, higher than that is going to be treifa. So on that, says Rashi, that's what Reb Chiya is coming to tell us. Don't say that's the interpretation of the Mishnah, because that you're not going to say, because no, when it says lamata, it means lamata minarkuva, it means right beneath it, it's going to be kosher. As the Gemara is going to conclude his statement, that it means the lower joint, which is the like, so to speak, that ankle part, which right beneath that is going to be kosher. Because as we'll see, the disputant, as we'll see later on, that there is room to interpret it, that it's the higher joint, but it doesn't mean right beneath the higher joint, because you can't say that, as some would say, because if the tzimis agidin, which is on the lower part of the middle bone, is going to be treifa, for sure, the higher part of the middle bone is going to be treifa. So therefore, that's what he's coming to tell us, that no, right beneath that joint is going to be kosher. Lamala, when we say above it, lamala min arkuva, immediately right on top of that joint, if that's severed over there, it's going to be treifa. Which, since we're going to explain, we're talking about the lower joint, right above it is the tzimis agidin, which is right near it, and for sure, higher up on the middle bone, if it's cut over there, it's going to be treif. Which later on the Gemara is going to ask on this interpretation of Rav Yehuda, that so why does the Mishnah say, v'chein she'nitel tzimis agidin, if the juncture of the sinews are taken away, it's going to be treif? You already said, lamala min arkuva treifa, above the joint, which is right where the tzimis agidin are treif. So that seems to be redundant. But that's what Rav Yehuda, Amarav, is saying in the name of Rav Chiya. And as he qualifies, be'ez arkuva amru, in what joint were we talking about in the Mishnah? Barkuva hanem keres, am I right? We're talking about the joint that's sold with the head, which is when someone buys the head, he gets the hooves, which is the bottom bone, which goes up until that bottom joint, which is the tarsus. That's what we're talking about. Above and below, right beneath that is kasher. Right above that, including the tzimis agidim, is treif. Now, Ula Amar Abayishya, he disagrees. He says, no, kenegdai, opposite that area of the Mishnah that we're talking about regarding a cow over here, regarding an animal, that we're talking about above and below it, if it's kosher or not. Begamal nikr, by a camel, that joint is recognizable, which is because Rabbi Yishya holds that the arkuva, the joint that the Mishnah was talking about, is the arkuva ha'alyoina, the upper joint, which that's actually the bone that sticks out by the thigh of a camel, as the Brisa teaches in Becheiris, the Memalev and Menalev, that joint is recognizable by the camel. Therefore, According to him, what the Mishnah is saying is on the above the higher joint, which is the by the femur. If that breaks, so then that's going to be treif. But beneath that, that's going to be kasher. Meaning even by the middle bone. And that amalei ula Rabbi Huda. Ula, who just gave the second interpretation, said to Rabbi Huda, who said the first interpretation. He asked as follows. He says, "Bishlemi lididi." It makes sense according to me. Damina connected begamal nika. That I said, which are kuva? Which joint? There's two joints that we're talking about connecting the three bones that are in the leg of an animal that we're talking about in the halacha of the Mishnah. I said it's the upper joint, and we're talking about above and beneath that joint. So hindik tani. So now you could understand why the Mishnah said after it spoke about that halacha, v'chein shenitzel tzaymas agidin. And also if the juncture of the sinews have been taken out. Because since the Tana had said that beneath the higher joint is kosher, meaning to say that if the middle bone, the shank bone, was broken, it's still going to be kosher. That's why the Tana had to say, v'chein shenitel, meaning that even though if the higher part is broken of that bone itself is going to be kosher, but where the lower part of that bone got broken, in the area of where the tzemes agidin are, it's going to be treif. As the Gemara later on will explain and say, don't wonder, how's that possible? Usually higher up is more vital, more... to say it's treifa, so how could it be that higher up it's kosher and lower down it's treif? That's what the Gemara is going to say. Yeah, you find that by animals, don't ask such a thing. You could break it in one area and it will die, and another area it will live. But it makes sense why we have to say the halacha. But according to you that you said, we're talking about the lower joint and above, that's what the Mishnah is talking about, that immediately right above it is going to be treif, then that's the tzaymes agidim area. So my v'chein shenaitel tzemes agidin. So what do you say? Talking about taking away tzemes agidin that was already said in the previous halacha. So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda said to him as follows: said rechuva b'loy tzemes agidin, and v'tzemes agidin b'loy revucha. Meaning, first the time that the Mishnah was talking about that if the bone itself was broken, but the gidin were still intact, and then it spoke about that if the tzemes agidin were taken without the bones. You're right that it's in the same area, but it was two different halachas. One is the bone breaking, but not the sinews. And one is the sinews breaking without the bone. And that's where to say that either one is going to make a treifa. But in that asula, how could you say that? The words were that if the bone is nechtuchu, which sounds like it's totally severed. Obviously, the time the Mishnah was talking about already in the first case, according to your interpretation, that the tzaymas were already taken away. So then why do you have to go ahead and repeat that and say that the tzemes agidim were taken? And as Rashi points out, you can't say the time the Mishnah first said, if the bone was broken with the tzemes agidim. And then it's saying, even if the tzemes agidim were taken without the bone, because then why do you have to say both? Just say that if the tzemes agidim were taken, even without the bone, it's going to be treif. And for sure, if it's severed, which both of them are broken. So says the Gemara Ishtek, Rabbi Yehuda was silent. He didn't have an answer. Now, Labasa the Nafik, after Ula had left, Amar Rabbi Yehuda said to himself, my time alay amrlay, why didn't I tell him the following interpretation that it won't be difficult on me? I could have told him, Lamato, this that the Mishnah says, beneath is going to be kosher, that's Lamata min arkuva. That's beneath the joint and beneath the area of the tzemes agidim. That's going to be kosher. Lamalo, this that it said above the joint, that's going to be treif. That didn't mean immediately above the joint. Rather meant higher up on the middle bone. L'malo mitzaymes agidim. That meant above the area, not immediately above the joint, above the area of the tzemes agidim. And because the area of the bone of the tzemes agidim actually would be kosher. That's why the Tana then continued. It said, l'chein shenitel tzemes agidim, that if, let's say, it gets cut in the area of the tzemes, it's also going to be treif. Then, therefore, the Mishnah had to say that because without it, I wouldn't have known that. I would have thought only above the ear of the tzemes aginim that the bone breaks is going to be treif. I would have thought near the tzemes that it would be kosher. Maybe that's what the Mishnah was saying. And then, Hada Amr, but then he went and he told himself, he says, no, it was very good that I didn't respond to him. And Veloy Amrle, and I didn't, because Veloy Amrle, didn't I already tell him? In other words, I already came with a response. I had a comeback, and I said that. No, it's not difficult. The Mishnah first spoke about the bone breaking without the tzaymas being cut, without the tendons being cut. And then it talks about the tendons being cut without the bones. And then he asked on me from the wording of the Mishnah, v'amali, and he told me, nechtuchu ketani. It says severed. Severed includes both. How can you say he was talking about bones without tendons and then tendons without both? Nechtuchu of the bones already includes the tendons being cut. So therefore says Rabbi Yehuda to himself, so then hachinami, see here too. If I had told him what I'm thinking, I could have answered him. He would have inferred from the terminology of the Mishnah, and he would have told me, it says in the Mishnah, from the joint and upward, is going to be treif if it gets cut, which sounds like right there. And therefore, that's already the area that's Tzemes HaGidim. And therefore, according to my interpretation, why does it then go ahead and subsequently say, if that's already included in the previous halacha of the Mishnah? So therefore, he didn't have a good response. Now, that's one version of Rabbi Yehuda in his disagreement with Ula. However, says the Gemara of Papa Masni, he learned the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda, hachi, as follows. That Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Rav, Amr Bchiyah, Lamata, originally in the first version we said he was talking about Lamata Lamala of the lower joint. According to Rav Papa's interpretation, Lamata, when the Mishnah says beneath it that it's going to be kosher, it doesn't mean immediately beneath it when it's talking about beneath the joint, because we're actually not talking about the lower joint. We're actually talking about, according to Rav Yehuda, the upper joint. So therefore, when we're talking about beneath it being kosher, that would be going on the middle bone, the shank. But that's what the halacha of the Mishnah is telling us, that by the middle bone, the shank, sometimes it's treif, for example, on the lower part of it, which is the Tzemes HaGidim area. So therefore, says this version of Rabbi Yehuda as follows. When the Mishnah says lamata, that it's going to be kosher, it means lamata min arkuva umid Tzemes HaGidim. It means beneath that upper joint, and beneath the area of the Tzemes HaGidim, meaning to say that beneath the entire middle bone, yeah, on the bottom bone, so although we're talking about the high upper joint, we don't mean right beneath that upper joint. We mean beneath that upper joint with the bone that's connected to it, which is including the Tzemes HaGidim, beneath that, which is on the bottom joint, where the bottom joint that's of the hooves, that's going to be kosher. And when it says lamala, above the joint, yeah, that's lamala min arkuva umetzemes hagidim. That means above that upper joint, and above, obviously, the area of the tzemes hagidim, which is the femur, the highest bone, yeah, that's most definitely going to be trefa, wherever the bone is severed over there. And that's what the Mishnah was saying, b'chein shenitl tzemes hagidim. And also, if the tzemes hagidim is taken, because the middle bone is, there are places where if it's severed, it's going to be trefa, for example, by the tzemes hagidim. But then there are places in the middle bone where it's going to be kosher, for example, if it's higher than the area of the tzemes hagidim. And varkuva gufa, and that the joint itself, which joint are we talking about? According to the second version of Rav Yehuda, it's kedu'ula om Rav Yehuda, which in the first version had disagreed with Rav Yehuda, but according to Rav Papa's interpretation, it's the same bone that Ula was talking about, which is the upper bone, but again, a different interpretation. He's talking about the upper bone, but it doesn't mean when we talk about above and below, right by that area. We're talking about that it means below means all the way below, which is by the lower bone. Above means right above it. And the middle bone itself, that's what the Mishnah is qualifying. What is that halacha? That's what the Mishnah says. The area of the tzemes, if that gets severed, that's going to be treif. But actually, the bone on top of that, in the middle bone, is actually going to be kosher. Now, ask the Gemara, which is both difficult according to Ula and according to Rav Papa's version of Rav Yehuda, Umiya Kamidi, is there really such a thing? De'ilu madli pasiklei, if it gets severed above the Tzemes HaGidim, in this middle bone, v'chaya, then you say the animal is going to survive, meaning it's not a treva, it's going to be kosher. Yet mitasi pasiklei emesa, but yet when you go lower down in the foot, and you cut it by the area of the Tzemes HaGidim, then it's going to be treva? How can you say that? That seems paradoxical. Usually that the higher up is more treva. So Amravashi says, treifas komadamas la'adodi, are you comparing the laws of treifas one to the other? Ein aimrim betreifas zudemelazu. You don't say in the laws of treifas that this should be compared to this. Sharechaitch mekan mesa, you could have something that if you cut it over here, it's going to die. And chaitch mekan mechayan, you could cut over here and it's going to survive. So therefore, it's not a difficulty how it's possible that lower down in that middle bone, it's going to be treif, but higher up in the middle bone, it's going to be kasha. Now, Rashi actually tells us that the halacha is like the first version of Rav, which is stringently, and therefore anything above the lower joint, wherever you cut over there, it's going to be trefa, and also if the tzimis is taken away, even without the bone being cut, without the bone being severed, because we don't find anywhere that Rav retracted, and later on Rashi says it sounds like that the halacha is like this, even if the bone is broken, and for sure if it's severed, that in that middle bone it's going to be treif. Now, says the Gemara, Ve'elohin tzemes agidim. What is this parameter of the tzemes agidim? Meaning, from where does it start, and where does its vitality of these tendons end? Because obviously it's a very important part that we say if it's severed, it makes the animal into a treif. So where's the parameters? Where's the area of it? So Rabbi Amar Avashi says, the agarma ulabar, says that it's from when the tendons, this specifically this tzemes agidim, when they leave the bone and start going into the area of the flesh, because that's what tendons do. It connects bones to muscle, which is what the flesh is. Meaning, because the bone, all the way down from the foot of the animal on the bottom, from the hooves, going up till right above the lower joint, that whole area is naked without any muscle, without any flesh. It's just basically bone with tendon. Now, that goes up until an area of like 2 or 3 finger breadths above that, the bottom joint. And that's where the gidin, the tendons are attached to it. Now, from the area from where they start going above from the bone, when they start coming off the bone, at on the bottom, they're attached to the bone. From where it starts getting off the area of the bone itself, that's where the tzemes agidim start. And as long as these three threads, these three tendons, are attached to each other as they're one, then they're called tzemes, until the area where they start spreading out and separating from each other in the flesh, as the Gemara is going to explain later on, that's up until where the tzemes agidim are. So again, this is from where they come off the bone until they separate, that's the area of the tzemes agidim, according to Rabbi Amar Avashi. That's one interpretation. Rabba bar Rav Huna Amar Avashi, he says, the agarma ulegav. He says, to the contrary, he says, actually, it's only called tzemes, only the area of where they are attached to the bone, from the place where they're attached, going until lower, beneath it, until the joint, that's where it's considered a tzemes agidim. So, to the contrary, not where it comes off the bone, but actually where it's on the bone until the joint. Now, third interpretation, Rava Bered de Rava Barav Huna, Amar Avasi, he says, De'ilavei arkuma. There's this small bone, the arkuma, that attaches the different parts of the lower joint itself. Now, from what is from the tendons above that area of that arkuma bone, which is like in the middle of what we would call the ankle by the animal, until the area where they start spreading out, according to this mandamer, that's called the tzemes, and anywhere where it's cut over there, it's going to make the animal into a treif, which, as Rashi points out, this measurement is the largest area of tzemes from all the interpretations, because it starts right from the arkum and above, which is beneath the bottom of the middle bone of the shank bone, because it's that joint, and it's the middle of that joint, which is beneath the shank bone. And if it gets cut from anywhere from that middle bone till that arkum, according to this last manda amar, it's going to be a treif. Now, moreover, the Gemara says that Yosef Ahum Rabban and Kamed Rababa, but Yosef Akama, there was one of these rabbis that was sitting for the Rababa, and he was sitting and was saying, the Arkuma Gufa, that if the tendons themselves that are directly opposite this Arkum bone, if they get severed, that's also going to make the animal into a treif. On that, Amli Rababa, he says, Loita Tzisul, he says, no, don't listen to this rabbi because he's way too stringent. Because Hache Am Rabbi Huda, this is what Rabbi Huda says. It's Hechad de Pari Tabachi. It's the place of where the butchers open up an animal to separate the flesh from the bone when they devein it, when they start taking out the veins, and that's actually right above the arkuma. Or another interpretation is from where they start skinning and flaying the animal. It's from that area where they open up the animal, it starts skinning the hind legs. That's Vahainu Rava Barei de Rava Barav Huna Amar Vasi, which is the last interpretation, which was the most stringent, which we said it was right above the arkuma bone, but not including the tendons right opposite the arkuma bone. That's not going to be included in the Tzemes Hagidim. Amar Yehuda Meshmul says, Tzemes Hagidim Sha'amru, this that we're talking about, this halacha of the Tzemes Hagidim, that if it gets severed, the animal's a treifa, is Makam Shagidim Tzemesim, is the place of where the tendons are connected together, and they look like, although they're three tendons, they look like they're one tendon. And that says the Gemara of Ad Kama, and how much is the length of the tzoymis, of that they're connected as if they're one. So Amalei Humer Midrabanan, so one of the rabbis said, Rav Yaakov Shemayin, his name was Rav Yaakov, so he said, Ki Avina Be Rav Yehuda, when we were by the yeshiva of Yehuda, Amalan, he said to us, Shimu Mini Milsa, I want you to listen from me a halacha, Dimegave Rabbi Shmeli, because it was from a great person that I heard it. Uman, and who is it? Shmuel. Saimis Hagidim Sha'amu. This, and this was the teaching that we're clarifying, which was Rav Yehuda Shmuel. So how much is this? So he's saying he heard from Rav Yehuda, sending him a Shmuel. The Saimis Hagidim Sha'amu, this Saimis Hagidim that we're talking about, is Makam Shagidim Saimisim. But like we quoted from him up until now, it's the area where these three tendons are like attached as one. And it's from where they're connected together until when they start spreading out as separate tendons. Now, by common, how much is that? So Abai, he says, Arba Batade Betaira, it's four finger breaths by an ox. That's how much the length of it is. And Badakamai says the Gemara, and by a small animal, by small livestock, how long is the Tzemes Agidim? So Amabai says, it's belite, it's when it's sticking out, meaning before the tendons start getting absorbed into the flesh, because that's what the tendons do, they get into the muscle itself. So when it's sticking out, have a tzemes agidim. So that's still the tzemes agidim. But bli lo have a tzemes agidim, but if they're already absorbed in the flesh, that's not tzemes agidim anymore. Moreover, ashuni have a tzemes agidim. When it's hard, that's a tzemes agidim. But rechichi, when they're soft, because after it goes into the flesh, then the tendons get soft, lo have a tzemes agidim, that's not tzemes agidim anymore. Alimi have a tzemes agidim. When they're thick, that's a tzemes agidim. Ketini lo have a tzemes agidim. When the tendons already are thin, they're not qualified anymore as this vital tzemes agidim. Chivri have a tzemes agidim. When they're white, again, that's the tzemes agidim. Lo chivri lo have a tzemes agidim. If it's not white, that's not the tzemes agidim. However, as we continue with Talmud Beis, Mabar Vashi, he disagrees. He's a little bit more stringent. He says, Kivin de Zigi, says, since it's clear, which is that it's a little bit white, Avagav de Lechivari says, even though it's not white, like the way Abaye said it, but still a little bit white, that's still going to be qualified as a tzemes agidim. And again, if that part of the tendon gets severed, that's going to be the tarfis of nitel tzemes agidim. Now, Omar Amim Mishmeidra Abzir, he says, Tlosa chuti hava, like we were explaining, this tzemes agidim are three threads, meaning three tendons, chara lima, one of them is thick, the trachetini, and two of them are thin. So he says as follows, if sikalima, if the thick one was severed, so as the Rav Binyan, you already lost the majority of the structure of the tzemes agidim, because it's the thickest of the two of them, and therefore you lost the majority of the structure, so it's a trefa. If siketine, and if let's say the two thin ones were severed, so as the Rav Binyan, you lost the majority of the number of them, because that's two out of the three, that's also going to make it a trefa. Now, whereas Mabar Avashi Masan Lekula, he actually learned this same qualification, the same equation as a leniency. He says, if Sikalima, if the thick one was severed, Hekarev Minyan, you still have a majority of the numbers left, and therefore it's not a trefa. The majority is still intact. If Sikatini, if the two thin ones were severed, says Hekarev Minyan, you still have a majority of the structure, because the thick one is bigger than those two, and therefore it's still going to be kosher. So he says the opposite in a way. Now, up until this was with animals. Says the Gemara Ba'efis regarding fowl, Shitzir Chutihava. The Tzemes Agidim has 16 threads. Ipasik Chad Minai Trefa. If one of them gets severed, it's going to be Trefa, as Tesis says, because once one of them gets severed, they all become undone, and therefore, again, it's going to lose the Tzemes Agidim, which is very vital for the animal's vitality, and therefore it becomes a Trefa. Now, Amma Ravashi says, actually, have a Ka'im the Kamei Da'abi, says, I was once in front of my father, Ravashi. Va'ishul Kamei, they brought a bird in front of him to check it. Ubadik Va'ashkar Bechamei, they checked, they only found 15. But havachad avishon mechavi. But there was one of these tendons that was different than all the other ones, which it was thicker than the rest. Naftseva ashkach trei. He pulled it apart. He found that it was really two. So therefore, he was able to validate it because it was actually 16 that was still there, and therefore it's a kosher bird. Now, Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, going back to what we were talking about before, tzemes agidim sha'amru. He says this tzemes agidim that we're talking about is berubai. This that we're talking about, that if it gets taken away, if it gets severed, it's going to be treif. It gets qualified by its majority. My rube, what's its majority? Berayv echad mehem. Meaning, if the majority of one of them gets severed, the animal is already a treif. Now, but this was what Rav Yehuda said from Rav. But says Rav Yehuda, ki amrita kamei d'Shmuel, when I said this in front of Shmuel, Amali said to me, mechti, let's see. Tlosa hava. Like we were saying, there's three of these tendons. Ki misik chad meinayu legami, even if one... You're telling me that from Rav, that if the majority of one of them is severed, it's already treif. But says Shmuel, even if the totality of one of them gets severed, hey, katrei, you still have two that's left, and the majority is still intact, and therefore that should still be kosher. Now, says the Gemara, actually, inferring from Shmuel's words, time of the katrei, sounds like, okay, as long as you have two, halek katrei lai, but if you wouldn't have two, then it wouldn't be kosher even according to Shmuel. Says the Gemara, pligid Rabbanai, and this it disputes with Rabbanai, because Dam Rabbanai Yom Shmuel, he said in the name of Shmuel that Tzaymes Agidim, these the juncture of these tendons, Afiloi Nishtar Ba El Kachot Hasar, but even if it's only left over like the thread from a coat, which is like this cloak out of wool, which they would put by the neck, a thread, like we do with straps, to close the neck area. Even if it's just like a thin thread like that, Ksheira, as long as there's something there, it's going to be kosher. And therefore, obviously this, which says you have to have two totally intact, is disputing that version of Shmuel, which says, no, even just a little bit is going to make it valid. Now, Vigadame, there those that say actually a different version. My Ruba, he said, Rabbi Huda said the name of Rav, that this that we said that we're going to qualify Tzemes Egin based on the majority, he said, and what's the majority? It's Rav Kol Echad V'Echad. If the majority of every single one of those three gets severed, that's when it's going to be treif. But if not, then it's going to be kosher. On that, when I said that in front of Shmuel, Amali said to me, still, he was still more lenient, and he says, Mechti, let's see. There are three of them. You still have a third of each one of them, and even though that each one was severed in its majority, you should still have a third of all them combined together, and therefore it should still validate the animal and not make it a treif. Says the Gemara, and this version of Rabbi Huda Amar Shmuel is Misayel Rabbanoi, supports Rabbanoi's version of Shmuel. Because to Amar Rabbanoi Mishmuel, he said the same thing. Same as Agid Misha Amru, Afila Nishtar by El Kachot Asar, Bel Ksheri, even if it's only left over, like just a thin thread of them, which is just a third of each one, that's still going to be enough to make it valid, and the end was not going to be a treifa. Now Rashi points out that Aloch is like Ma'bar Avashi, who he had said that if the Alima is Ifsak, then it's still kosher. If it's a ketini, it's also still kosher, because the halacha is always like Ma'abar Avashi, except two places, once in Sanhedrin and once in Masechta Shavuos. Now, moreover, says Rashi that the measurement of the Tzemes Egidim, since we have this machlekes and it wasn't clarified who the halacha is like, since it's biblical law of treifas, we go after the most stringent interpretation, and therefore above the arkuma bone, until the place where it starts spreading out, wherever it's cut over there, that's considered same as a gedim, and therefore, even if the joint and the bone is still intact, the animal is going to be a treif. Now the Gemara continues with the halacha of the Mishnah. So then the Mishnah moved on and said, not that the bone was severed, but rather nishbar etzim, it's a break, not that it's totally detached. But if the bone is broken, some chulu, etc., we said it depends if reva basar is kayim, if the majority of the flesh is still intact, it's going to be kosher, and meaning that limb itself. And if that's not going to be purified with the slaughtering of the animal. Now, on this, the Gemara says, Amar Rav. Rav says as follows. The Mishnah didn't define regarding this halach of Nishbar Etzim regarding where exactly the bone is broken. Because it was actually talking about regarding just that bone. It wasn't talking about the animal itself. So on that, Rav qualifies as follows. It says, Lamalam in Arkuva, if the bone is broken above the joint. So, as follows. Im Rav Habasar, if the majority of the flesh that's over the area of the break is Kayim, meaning to say the skin and the flesh is covering the majority of that bone, so then Zevezeh, then both the limb and the animal are Mutter, both of them are going to be permitted. Because the animal is not a treif, because even the limb itself is not considered problematic. Now, but Vim Lav, it says Rav, but if not, if it's above the joint, which is already a problematic area, like we said, from the previous halacha of the Mishnah, and moreover, the limb here, it's also problematic because it's not covered with the majority of the flesh, then zeh v'zeh aser. Then actually, both the limb and the animal is going to be aser, is going to be treif. Now, therefore, when the Mishnah said that if not, meaning if it doesn't have majority of flesh, en shchitasa mitarasai, it's saying the slaughter is not going to purify it, which sounds like that only the limb is problematic, but the animal is permitted, that must be going beneath the joint. As Rav continues, because above the joint, actually, even the animal becomes a treifa. That's what Rav continues, says, Lamata min arkuva, but if this break is beneath the joint, im reva basar kayim, if the majority of the flesh is intact, okay, so zeva zemuta, then both the animal and even the joint is permitted. It's considered part of the animal, it's not evra meduldal. But imla, but if not, evra asar, then the limb will be prohibited because it's not permitted with the slaughtering of the animal because it's considered like a hanging limb, which is not considered part of the animal to be permitted with its slaughtering. But a behemoth, a teres, the animal is permitted because even if it was totally severed beneath the joint, it would still not be a treif. But that's Rav. Shmuel Amar, he disagrees. He says, bein lamala, bein lamata, whether it was above the joint or beneath the joint, if the bone was just broken, not severed, Im Rav Abaster Kaim, if the majority of the flesh is intact, says Zeb Zeb Mutter. Both the animal and that bone are permitted. But Im Lav, if not, Eva Oster. Yeah, so the limb is prohibited because it's considered detached from the animal. But a behemoth teretz, but the animal is permitted. So according to Shmuel, whether it's above the joint or below the joint, he explains the halacha of the Mishnah that there's a difference between when it totally gets severed to when the bone is just broken. Why? Because when the bone is just broken, the gidin, the sinews, are still intact. The bone is broken, but the tendons are still, the ligaments are still there, and therefore it's still considered attached to the animal. It's not considered a trefa, in contrast to being totally severed above the knee would make above the joint would make it a trefa. Here it's not going to make it a trefa. Maskul Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman asked, Lishmul, according to Shmuel, people are going to say, Avram emenu mutal ba'ashba, the limb itself is being thrown into the garbage, like we're saying it's not being permitted. Umiteres? And the animal's permitted? How's that possible? So on that, Rav Nachman says, so what do you mean? L'Rav Nami. Even according to Rav, beneath the joint, Yomer, people are going to say the same thing. Avram emen the mutal ba'ashbu materis, where the limb is thrown into the garbage and the animal is permitted? How is that possible? So on that, Amalei, so on that, Rav Nachman said, no hoche kamina. This is what I was saying. And that's why I asked it only on Shmuel. Avram shechayim emenu, a limb that the animal's life depends on, which is above the joint, that limb, since that bone broke, is mutal ba'ashba, you're saying the limb is prohibited, and therefore you're going to cut it off and throw it into the garbage. So that's prohibited. Umiteres, the animal's permitted, how's that possible? Shouldn't that make the animal into a treva too? And the Gemara doesn't answer that question. Now, Shalch Mitam, they sent from different Eretz Yisrael, Hichasa kavasei de Rav. Halacha falls like Rav, which is that if it breaks above the joint, and you don't have the majority of the flesh, not only is the limb prohibited, but also the animal is also going to be prohibited, is also going to be considered like a treva. But Hadar Shalchu Kaveh Sayyid Shmuel, then they subsequently said, no, halach is like Shmuel, which the animal will always be permitted. But then Hadar Shalchu Kaveh Sayyid Rav, then they subsequently said that the halach is like Rav, that the limb and the animal are prohibited if it's above the joint. Moreover, Ve'ivar Atzmeh V'tameh B'masa, and they said that the limb itself, not only is it prohibited, but actually transmits Tumah by being carried, even if it's not touched, because it's considered like a nevela, because of the halach that the slaughtering, it makes nipple, which is like we had learned in the previous daf, on daf and gimel mabez, that when the slaughtering happens, it makes that hanging limb is like as if it's detached and it's not even part of the animal. So although the rest of the animal, let's say, is a trefa, so the animal is not kosher, like we're saying, like Rava, as we're paskening, however, it's still not going to transmit tumma like a nevela, because ultimately a trefa that's slaughtered does not transmit tumma. But the limb itself is considered like it was detached, and therefore it didn't even get the permissibility of the shechita, and therefore it's going to have the halacha of tumma like a nevela. However, on this last halacha, Masa Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda asked from a braisa that we quoted on the Fein Gimel Med Alf, which was in this discussion of the halacha, we had a machlekes in the Mishnah, Remei and the Chacham, regarding if the fetus sticks its hand out from the womb, what's the halacha with that? Does that get purified with the shechita or not? So on that, Rav Meir said back to the Chacham, Loi, no, it's not going to be purified, because although you want to prove from the halacha of a trefa, that although it's not permitted to be eaten, but the slaughtering at least takes away the tumah nevela, and you want to say the same thing for the aver of the fetus that's being stuck out, says no, how could you compare the two? Im tiara shechitas trefa oisa, if the slaughtering of a trefa animal permits it from the tumah of nevela, and the limb that's hanging from it, yeah, that makes sense, because that's davar shegufa, that's from the body of the animal itself. But are you going to say to Tara Sa'uba that should purify the fetus from its limb that's going out, which is Davashe Nagufo, which is something that's not the body itself? No, that will still have the Tumah of Nevela. But one thing we see, that's always their machlokes regarding the uber. But regarding the limb of the animal itself, everyone agrees that the slaughtering does not make it nipple, does not make it detached, and that it will be purified with the slaughtering of the animal itself. And therefore you see, not like this previous halacha, that it should not be the Eivra Atzman Betama Bamasa, because the Shechita does not make nipple for the Eivra Medoldu, and it actually is purified with the Shechita of the animal. Now, on this question of Rav Chizda, Amalei Rava said to him, he wasn't refuting his question, but he was saying, Haduria Pircha Lamalach, why do you have to go seeking questions to ask him a braisa, which not all the Amirom knew all the braises? Isiv Mimas Neitin, you should have asked from a Mishnah, which is very fluent in the base Midrash, that everyone knows, which the Mishnah later on, Kavach HaBazayin Manalv, and Perak HaOivar Reitiv. The Mishnah there is discussing regarding a limb or flesh that's hanging from an animal. And the Mishnah said, Nishchata Behema, if the animal is slaughtered, so then Huchshuru B'damehah, So then that limb becomes susceptible to tumma with the blood, which is one of the seven liquids that can make a food item become susceptible to tumas eichlin, because now it's a food item, because now it's slaughtered, it's not a living thing anymore. But one thing you see, that it only becomes susceptible to tumma, this limb, because of that it's an eichel now, which is with the blood of the animal when it's slaughtered, which comes spurting out on the animal. But one thing we see, that it doesn't have already intrinsic tumma, which is if it was a nevela. So you already see from there that shechita does not make nipul for the limb that's hanging. It only comes tummy from the blood that's on the animal, and this limb is considered ancillary to the animal itself. That's divrei meir. Now, Reb Shimon Ami says, lehuchshur does not become susceptible, which the Gemara over there explains the reasoning, but that's just that it doesn't become huchshur with this, but no one's disputing that it's not going to have the tumma of nevela. So you already see from the Mishnah that shechita does not make nipul for the limb that's hanging. Why are you asking from a brisa? So that Amalei, so Rav Chisda said to him, he says, no, masnit nika litkuye, we can reject the proof from that Mishnah, kidadachina, like we actually had rejected this already on Daf Ayin Gimel Beis, where the Gemara had explained, no, what does that Mishnah mean over there that with the blood it's going to be susceptible to tumma? Wasn't going on a limb that's hanging, it was going on flesh that's hanging. Because even if you say, which, and therefore it wouldn't be a raya, that shechita oisin nipul, that it does make it like it's disconnected, you still wouldn't have a tumma nevela from flesh that was separated from a living animal, because it's only if it has tendons and bones, as the Gemara explains, but it has to be a full limb. So therefore it wouldn't be a raya from the Mishnah, that's why we asked from a braisa, which therefore that refuted that halacha of Meretz Yisrael that they sent, although halacha is like Rav, he disputed this by that they said the Eivor Atzmo is matamba b'mas, it's actually not, it should not have the halacha of tumas nevela. Now, Kisalik Reb Zeir, when Reb Zeir went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechil Rav Yirmiyah, so he encountered Rav Yirmiyah, the Yosef Akamal Allah HaShmaita, that he was sitting and he was saying over this teaching of Rav, who we quoted before, that said, that the Mishnah said, that if not, if you don't have the majority of the flesh covering by a broken bone above the joint, that Zev Zeh Asa, Rav said that, not like Shmuel, he said, not only is that bone prohibited, but even the whole animal is considered treif. Rav Yirmiyah was saying over this teaching because he was a student of Rav, and therefore he was saying over this teaching of Rav. So Amalei, Reb Zeir, when they heard this teaching, he said, Yisha, you should be strengthened, v'chein tirgum ha'aryech b'bavo, and so to Aryech, who, as the Gemara is going to explain, refers to Shmuel, and the reason why I called him Aryech, as we find in Bereishis Yodalad, he was the king of Elasar, which refers to this concept that dina de machus dina, that the law of the king is law, because the halacha follows Shmuel by the laws of monetary law. So he says, oh, and that's how Aryech translated in Bavel. Now, so the Gemara, Aryech Mani, who is Aryech referring to? Like we said, it's Shmuel. But how could you say Shmuel said like that? As we quoted before, of a Miflik Polik, he actually disputes Rav. He said, actually, the animal is still kosher, even though it's above the joint, because it's just broken. So the Gemara, Nahadabe Shmuel Gabi de Rav, Shmuel ultimately retracted to Rav, as the Gemara had actually asked on him and said, how could it be possible that a limb that the animal's life depends on is in the garbage, and you can say the animal's kosher? He ultimately retracted and agreed to Rav. If it's above the joint and it's broken, then not only does the limb usher, but even the whole animal is a trefer. Continuing this halacha of our mission of Nishbar Etzim, says the Gemara Tarban Linda Brisa, Nishbar Etzim Yotz Lachutz, which is actually the primary halacha of this, if the bone is broken and it protrudes outside of the animal. So says the Brisa, as the Mishnah had said, if the skin and the flesh covers its majority, then it's permitted. If it covers the majority of the break, but if not, it's prohibited. Now, ask the Gemara, and how much is the majority, as we were saying in the Mishnah, the majority of the flesh is covering, is intact, then we're saying that even that bone is going to be permitted with the animal. How much is majority? So, Kiyasra of Dima Omer Biyach, and it says it means Rav Oivyei, the majority of its thickness, meaning that we don't have the majority of the thickness of the break emerging outside. Rather, only a minority of the cavity of the bone is revealed, but the majority of that break is still covered by the flesh. That's what it means, that if the majority of the flesh is intact, that means to say, that's what we said, that the limb is still going to be considered part of the animal and permitted with the slaughtering. Now, Vamrila, however, some had said that what it was is Rav Hekeifei. It means the majority of its circumference, meaning to say that it's not dependent on the thickness of the bone. That doesn't make a difference how much of it came out or not. Rather, it depends the majority of the flesh that covers the bone on the break, if that's intact. So even if, let's say, the cavity of the bone all comes out, but if it comes out through a small hole, so the majority of that flesh that's covering is still intact, it's going to be kosher. But if, let's say, the majority of the flesh that covers the bone around the break is actually uncovered, so then even if the break didn't come out, it's all inside, and it's all covered, still that's going to be treifa. Now, Amar HaPapa, he says, Hilchach, therefore, since we have these two different interpretations, be'inan roiv av, so you need to have both. You need to have the majority of its thickness being covered, that the majority of the break of the cavity inside does not come through the whole of the flesh. And you also need to have the majority of that flesh that's covering over the break should be intact. Now, Amar Ula Amar Bi'echnan, he says, Oyer harehu kabasa, says that the skin is like the flesh, meaning if the flesh that's beneath the skin was taken away, was lost, was removed, but you still have the skin covering the majority of its thickness and its circumference, it's still going to be kosher, even though the flesh is not there, but the skin is the same equivalent. Now, on that, Amar Rav Nachman Ula, he asked on him, but why are you so lenient? V'leimamar, let the master say, or mitztarif lebasar. More stringently, you should have said, that the skin could, okay, it could combine with the flesh, but you should still have to have at least half flesh and half skin, because the ha'or ubasar ketani, we learned, if it has skin and flesh intact in the brisa. So it sounds like you need both. How could you say it's enough just with the majority of skin? So Malay, on that he said to Manan, oy basar tanninan, our text of the brisa we quoted before is not and, it actually says or, if it has either one, so therefore even if it just has the majority of the skin, it's going to be sufficient. Now Ikedami, those say a different version. Amma Ula Amar B'yechnan, he says, oy mitztarif lebasar. He says actually more stringent, and the counter-argument is even more stringent than that. He says that the skin could combine with the flesh. You're right, it says ooh with a vav and, can't have only skin, but it combines with the flesh to be covering the majority. On that, Amar Rav Nachman Ula, in this version, the question was, let the master say even more stringently, no, only or mashlam labasar, that the skin could only supplement the flesh, meaning to say that the majority covering should have to be from flesh, and only the minority could be skin, to combine with the two of them to cover the majority of the bone, which is l'chumra even more stringent. Because it sounds like the primary is the basar, and that you could only add some of the ayr. On that Amalei said to him, look, ana uvdi yidan. He says, I know an incident that happened. And that's why I'm basing my halacha on. That hu bar gezala, there was this pigeon that broke its leg. To have a bear b'yitzchak that was in the house of a b'yitzchak. The ayr mitztarif labasar, which was a situation where the skin was not just a minority, but it combined like 50-50 with the flesh. Vasla kamed Rabbi Yechonim achshar, and it came from the Rabbi Yechonim, and he said that it's valid. On that, Amalei said that he had a counter-argument. Bar Gezala, comrade, your proof was from a pigeon? No, that's not a proof. Bar Gezala, derachich, by a pigeon where its skin is soft. Shani, it's different because since the skin is soft, that's why it's the equivalent as the flesh. So there it could combine and be 50-50. But in general, I would tell you by a regular animal that actually it should require only supplementing, that actually the majority should have to be the flesh and only just a minority of the skin to supplement and not even to be mitzdarif, to combine, to qualify with this halacha, that when it's broken, we're saying when is the limit self going to be part of the animal and be kosher, even that limit self, is when you have reva baster kayim. So like we're saying in the brisa, it's not, the skin could supplement to be a minority, but it can't even be mitzdarif to be 50-50, and for sure not, again, like in this second version of being only skin, because you have to have the majority of the flesh, but in both reva avya and reva kayfei, to cover it, to be considered that the limit self is permitted with the slaughtering of the animal.